All right, welcome to Black Hawk Church. Let's hear it for the weather. Yeah. Unbelievable. This is why we live in Wisconsin, right? Fantastic. Yesterday was great. Today's great. So fantastic. Welcome to Black Hawk Church. My name is Chris. I work here at Black Hawk Church. I'm one of the pastors on the teaching team at Black Hawk Church. Welcome to those of you who are with me right now in this venue at our Brader Way site. Those of you who are joining us at Traditions or the gallery at this site, and those of you who are joining us at the Upper House downtown or Black Hawk Fitchburg, or those of you who were busy today and are watching online and you're recovering from a sunburn or something like that. So welcome to everybody at Black Hawk Church. A special welcome to those of you who are new or visiting, because today you're going to hear a message that will give you kind of a big picture of what Black Hawk Church is all about. So visitors are always welcome, but I mean, a lot of Sundays you don't get like a Sunday like today, because you're going to learn more about like what are the values of our church. You're going to learn more about that today, so I'm excited for you to be here with us. Normally, at the beginning of a talk for the last 15 weeks, some teacher gets up here and talks about what we're doing as we're going through the Bible this year with this thing called Love This Book. And so for 15 weeks, we've been going through Love This Book. Now we're going to take a break from Love This Book. And then on May 22nd, we start again with the Love This Book series. You can pick up the journal for that period. And it looks like this. It's called God and Israel, Prophets and the Kings. And then on May the 28th, I'll be doing a talk on the failure of the kings and then the rise of the prophets as we pick up the Love This Book again. But we are taking a break from Love This Book for 5 weeks to focus on what this series is called Reach. And the Reach series is basically all about, what do you think it's about? It's about basically reaching. Part of that five Sunday series is that we are going to take one Sunday where we don't gather together on a Sunday at one of the different sites or venues, but that we actually go out into the community and actually, what do you think? Reach the community by loving Madison. So look at this slide. So this Love Madison is something we've been doing for 9 different years, and we partner with dozens of organizations all over the city, and we have no worship services on Sunday, May 7th. It's basically the first Sunday of every May, and for 9 years in a row, it hasn't rained on that Sunday. So that's like, wow. So we just leave the building, basically, and we go out and we serve in the community in all kinds of different ways. If you haven't signed up for Love Madison yet, make sure you sign up. It's a great thing for families, for life groups. We just want to just cover the city with love by doing all kinds of things like painting, pulling weeds, cleaning up parks, doing all kinds of different things. We go into the schools and different things. We just do all kinds of projects, like hundreds of projects, and we just cover the city with love because we love Madison. So that's a tangible expression of what we're doing in this series called Reach. But for the other four Sundays, today, on April the 30th, and May 14th, and May the 21st, we are going to basically focus on a big part of our mission. Our mission is, in the small statement, is this. Why don't you read this out loud with me? Building a community to reach a community. That's the small version of our mission, and hopefully most of you that call Black Hawk Church your church home in Madison know that statement. Say it again with me. Building a community to reach a community. The long version is this. Building a loving community that follows Christ in order to reach a community that is lost without him. That is our mission. And for the next several weeks, we want to focus on that reach aspect of our mission. Watch this.
This is a story about the gospel and how the good news about Jesus Christ changes everything. The gospel has always driven Black Hawk's mission of building a loving community that follows Christ in order to reach a community that is lost without him. The gospel changes our hearts and how we see the world around us. It advances the common good and makes work more meaningful. In a world that is filled with division, the gospel unites. you bring the gospel to the city. Imagine what would happen if all of us lived our lives in ways that express the gospel with love, humility, justice, and grace. Those small choices could multiply the reach of the gospel in our city and the world. For years, we've been following God's lead, moving toward things He's already doing. He's transforming the story of our city one heart at a time. He continues to move, and we continue to respond. In this season, we've been entrusted with opportunities to respond with the gospel in two areas: engaging the neighborhoods rapidly growing around our existing sites and serving new neighborhoods in our city. When people experience the gospel in unexpected ways, it creates a ripple effect. The gospel doesn't only change lives, it helps the whole city flourish for everyone in it. To reach our community, we can't just build a bigger Blackhawk. We need you, and we need to partner with others who understand the gospel, people who understand their calling in every neighborhood across our city. We need you to reach, to say, "I'm in." In this story, you are the church. You carry the gospel, and the best is yet to come.
Reach is about the gospel. Now, that is definitely a religious word. I mean, that is a church world word. And you hear the word gospel in all kinds of different contexts, and to different people, it means different things. But originally, the word gospel translates a Greek word, euangelion, which basically means good news. The gospel is actually an announcement. It's something that we tell other people about something that God has already done. Now, all kinds of times at Blackhawk Church, we go through the gospel just to kind of train us and get like, what is the gospel? Here is the gospel according to the Bible. In the beginning, God created everything, and everything that God created was good. And one of the good things that He created was human beings. One of the good things about human beings is He created them with free will so they could either obey Him or rebel against Him, and human beings chose to rebel against Him. And obviously, that created a huge mess in God's creation. Now, God could have just wiped human beings out, but He decided that He, the artist or the creator, would be the only one who would be possible to fix the mess that human beings has caused. So God decided to fix that mess by choosing one family of all the families of the world, and that He would kind of use that family to kind of bring His solution to the human race. The family that He chose was the family of, fill in the blank, Abraham. Abraham. So if you know anything about Love This Book, Abraham is a really big deal. He's a big deal to three major religions today: Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. Abraham's a big deal. God chose Abraham and his family, and the rescue would come through his family. One person who was born in that lineage of Abraham was born, and we celebrate the Christmas story around him, and that he is basically the hero of the story, and this is Jesus Christ. Christ came into the world to rescue and to restore the world. But his idea of rescue and restoration was not exactly what the world was expecting. He was born in a different way. And then at the end of his life, he then died a cruel death on a Roman execution rack called a cross. He died for all of the mess in the world, all of our sins, any sin that has ever been committed. He absorbed that evil into himself. But because he is actually the creator, he's more powerful than sin, death, and Satan. And then he rose from the dead. So that's what we celebrated last week on Easter Sunday. One day, then Jesus is going to return. But until that day, he wants all of his followers to be like little Jesus communities and join him in the worldwide restoration project that he calls the kingdom. Then someday, Christ is going to return and completely restore this planet, and the world will know unbelievable peace, fantastic, Cubs win every year, that kind of thing. What did I say that was funny? What was I saying funny? That is basically the gospel, except the Cubs part. That's the gospel. What do we learn about the gospel? We learn about the gospel through the word of God. God wrote two books, the book of nature and the book of scripture. And here at Blackhawk, we don't believe those are books are in contrast with each other. We think they both work well with each other. We here study this book, the book of scripture. Everything that you know about Jesus, everything that you know about the gospel, we learn from this book. So let me just talk to visitors and people who are new to Blackhawk. This is another thing about Blackhawk Church that you'll find if you continue to come here. There is some time during the message on a Sunday where somebody on the teaching team is going to stand up, basically, and either hold this or some kind of smart device and say, take your Bibles and turn to, because we are a church that's about this book, the Word of God. Well, why would a teacher stand up and talk about a book that is so old? For the answer to that, take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is one of my favorite parts of the message, when I like look out and see everybody looking and, you know, scrolling through their smart device or something like that. 2 Timothy 4. Let me give you a little background about this. Again, if you're a visitor, a newcomer, we always say this at Blackhawk. The Bible's not written to us. It's written for us, not to us. So the title of this book actually kind of gives you that. So this is written to someone called Timothy. There's not like two of them. There's like the second letter that this Christ follower, Paul, has written to a Jesus community that's pastored by a guy named Timothy. Now, he may have written him many different letters, but we only have two of them that are in the Bible. So Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, and then there's Jesus communities that are popping up all around the Mediterranean Sea. One of them right on the edge of the Mediterranean Sea in a country that we call Turkey today is called Ephesus. And Ephesus is a major city back in those days. And Timothy is the pastor, and he is super, super discouraged. In fact, basically everybody in the church of Ephesus is super discouraged. Why are they so discouraged? Because back in the first century, if you were a Christ follower, the social pressure against you was like enormous. We can't even relate to it. Because back in Ephesus, if you just walked down first century Ephesus, you would see different temples to different gods all over the place. Would you see a church building? The answer is no, no church buildings, okay? In those days, churches were people, okay? There's no church buildings. Some little small community. Gods everywhere, lots of temples. And if you were part of like a regular guild or like a workforce, and let's say you belonged to like a guild of cobblers and made shoes, there was a little god over the cobbler business. Maybe you were a chef, and there was a little god over the cooking business. And maybe you were raising your children, well, there's a little god over children. There's gods over everything. And in order to fit into that world, you basically had to kind of believe and kind of follow all these different gods. Well, the Christ followers were like, no, 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 no. Those are little gods. Those are just like statues. They're not real things. There's only one God, and there's only one way to have a relationship with that God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And that was not a popular message back in those days. Can anyone relate? Huge social pressure. And there was a pressure on the pastor and a pressure on the church to go in all kinds of different directions because of the pressure that was coming against the gospel. So at the end of this letter, Paul writes this to Pastor Timothy. Chapter 4, verse 1. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom. See, that's part of the gospel. Jesus is going to return. I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For a time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Let me be truthful with you. When I get discouraged, and that happens more than I'd like to admit, this is a passage I go to. This passage is like foundational to the way in which I think. If I had a life verse, and I don't, it would be this verse right here. That verse, verse 2, preach the word. Sometimes I get discouraged about life's pressures against us. What should I be doing? Lord, how should we lead right now? Preach the word. Preach the word. This passage is not only just foundational to me, but it's foundational to us as a church, basically. It's foundational to any of the people that are teaching here at Black Hawk Church, whether on this platform or they're teaching in all kinds of ministries here. We are about proclaiming the truth of this word. And we love it when people's their eyes like open up and go, oh my gosh, I've known about the Bible like forever, but now that makes sense to me. We love to hear that. Last week, Pastor Matt preached the Easter message. How many of you think Pastor Matt did a good job last week? Amen. Yeah. Awesome. And actually, Matt hates it when I do that kind of thing, or any of the teachers do. But it's fantastic. One of the comments that I heard about Matt was this. Someone who said, you know what, I've been to church all my life, really just never paid attention to the Bible. But that story that he told last week about Mary and Jesus seeing each other for the first time, oh my gosh, he just made the Bible come alive. Drop the mic right there, man. To us, that's awesome. Because to us, on the teaching team, this is what we're about. People invest energy and their lives in all kinds of things. We want people to invest their lives and talent and energies into the Word of God. Why? Because, well, the Bible, it's like been around a while, and it's going to be around like forever. Look at this verse from Isaiah. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Now, for those of us who are in church world, we've kind of heard that verse before. It's kind of familiar to us. But look at that verse. That's a powerful verse. It lasts forever, the word of God. Let me ask you a question. What are you investing in that like lasts forever? I mean, we live in a world where things are changing so quickly. Everything is like in flux. Nothing is solid. I mean, like things are just like constantly like it's in and then it's not in. It's in and it's not in. Years ago when I was growing up in Indianapolis, Indiana, when I was just a child, so like I'm 61, okay? So like when I was growing up in the 1960s, everyone I knew this song and could actually whistle along with it. If you know this song, join me. Now, people are thinking we're weird right now, man. You guys are finishing the song. That's awesome. There are students at the Upper House right now downtown that are going, what just happened there? Our brothers and sisters in traditions are going, finally a song we recognize. Oh my gosh. Hey, for those of you who are not familiar with that song, There are songs that we are singing or you are singing in your minds today that 50 years from now, your children or grandchildren will think, that's weird. Because nothing lasts forever except this. This is going to last forever. So we invest our time and energies. If you are new to Blackhawk, this is what we do here. Someone stands up and proclaims a truth from the Word of God in the midst of great social pressure to not do so. This is what we do. We're not the only people who love the Word of God on the teaching team. You guys love the Word of God. That's basically why most of us come to Blackhawk, because we're committed to the Word of God. We love the Word of God. We love this book. And so thousands of us are going through the Bible reading plan this year called Love This Book. And we are excited about it as we learn. And we said, this is a very difficult book. So we want to learn more and more about the Word of God. Here's the question for Reach. The question is this. Not just do you love the Word of God, but do you want that for others? Or just you loving it is enough? Do you actually want that for other people? This is where the Reach initiatives come in to play. As I said in the video, Reach is about two different things: engaging the neighborhoods that are rapidly growing around us and serving communities that we're not really serving that well right now. It's a big part of our mission. Let me talk about the engaging part first. Engaging neighborhoods that are rapidly growing around our existing sites. So let's talk about this Brader Way site. And if you are watching at another site, I'm at the Brader Way site right now. So when we purchased this property in 2002, the city had a thing called a planned urban development. This is created by the city of Madison. It looks like this. I highlighted 2002 so you could see this is what we knew we were getting into. The city basically has 2 square miles, and it's bounded by Mineral Point to the south, Old Sauk to the north, and then Pleasant View on the east and Pioneer on the west. 2 square miles. You can see that. See that like light yellow part in there? The city wants 3,600 single-family units in that section right there. When we moved out here, it was just like cornfield. But now in 2017, if you just look north of our facility, you can see there's all kinds of streets back there right now and all kinds of houses that are being developed. If you know what I'm talking about, shake your head up and down like this. Absolutely. You guys, we're congested now. Now we're congested. At 9:30 and 11:15, I know they shut this room right now at the 9:30 hour. We're congested downstairs at this site right now, before any of that takes place. You guys follow me? If you drove south just about a half a mile and then turned around and looked back at this building, this is what you would see. Oh yeah, more dozers on the south side getting ready to build another neighborhood just south. And that's not talking about the apartment complexes that are going up all around this area. Our Reach initiative is about this, basically, at the Brader Way site. Can we add on or complete this project that we built back in 2006 and 2007? So here's a drone view of our building from the top. And then the Reach initiative would be basically filling in that grassy corner with a 2-story add-on right there. That's one aspect of Reach. Complete the project that we started in 2006, 2007. Second aspect of the Engage would be the Fitchburg site. Right now, every Sunday, we attract 600 to 800 adults and children to our Fitchburg site, and they are located at Savannah Oaks Middle School. Look at this site right here. So that's Savannah Oaks Middle School, and you can see where the building, where the school is. The congregation agreed back a few weeks ago to put a basically a an offer on a property that is right there, and that's the post Blackhawk Fitchburg site. We're in the process of getting to a place where we'll actually own that. If you drove down Seminole Highway right now, you would see that there, see that says future residential development? They are, just drive down Seminole, you guys. It's happening like right now. If you understand what I'm talking about, shake your head up and down. There can be houses all around that area, you guys. We're proposing that we build a building on that site. The building could look something like this right here. This is an artist's rendering. It's not like a drawing from a builder or something like it's an artist's rendering. There are no bathrooms in that artist's rendering right there. So there you go. So I'm just telling you that because, well, we're not going to have bathrooms. No. It's an artist's rendering. So that could seat 600 adults at one time and then have enough space for 300 children at the same time. So right away, we would have to start two services if we did that, if we built like that today. So that's engaging the neighborhoods around us. And then serving neighborhoods that we're not really reaching. And this is about basically joining together with a sister church that we are proposing that we have in this city. And that sister church is called Zion City Church, and their pastor is Collier McNair. Here's a picture of Zion City Church. Now, Collier has been with me on the platform up here a couple of different times. Actually, Collier and Charles Yu will be delivering the message next week. This is an awesome pastor, and that is an awesome church. We are already doing things with Zion City Church. They'll be doing Love Madison with us again in a few weeks. They did it with us last year. They're doing Love This Book, the same thing that we're doing every week. They're going through Love This Book just like we are. Coley comes to our teaching team meetings, and basically a lot of the talks that we do here, he's basically doing those talks there. Now, we're not saying they're going to become a Blackhawk site. That's not. They are their own church. They're their own church. They are wanting to join our denomination, but they're their own church. He's his own senior pastor. He's not going to be on our staff. We are proposing, though, that we help them flourish in this community. They're already a good church. What can we do to help them as we try to get the word of God out to all kinds of places in this city? And in turn, they're helping us understand reality in Madison today. There's a racial problem in Madison today. We need to learn more and more about that by developing relationships with great brothers and sisters in Christ. Someone say amen. And then also, we would like to serve a neighborhood that, well, we're not really sure yet, but we'd like to have seed money for like planting another site. We launched a site in 2010 downtown and in 2013 at Fitchburg, and sometime in the future, we'd like to launch another site. And whenever that takes place, it costs money in order to do that. So we can envision a day someday when either sites or sister churches would ring the city. You guys, anything short of bringing the word of God to this city is not motivating to me. To me, it's about the word of God and the gospel throughout this area. It's part of our mission. All right, now some of you are going, well, how much is this going to cost? Let's skip that slide right now. No. Here is an estimate of what something like that might actually cost. The Brader Way site, 12 to 14 million. Fitchburg, 11 to 13 million. Strengthening our sister church, Zion City, $500,000. Seed money for the future site, 250,000. And people are going, oh my gosh, that is a lot of money. If we think that's a lot of money, say amen. Amen. I mean, good golly. That's a. In fact, I would say, humanly speaking, that's like, it's out of our reach. Humanly speaking, it's a lot. When we look at numbers like that, we go, oh my gosh, it costs a lot. Then we ask this question, is it worth it? Now, when you ask about something costing a lot, that's dollars and cents. But when you ask about worth, that's a different question. Worth is about value. Higher education costs a lot. Is it worth it? Well, sometimes it is because it holds great promise for the student. Medical surgeries cost a lot. Are they worth it? Well, sometimes they are worth it because it holds great promise to the patient. You guys, we are all benefiting right now from Blackhawkers who were before us, who came to a place in Blackhawks history where they go, you know, it's not about us, it's about others. And they sacrificed and gave for other people. Let me just ask a survey question. How many of you have come to Blackhawk Church since 2007? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. You would not be in those seats, no matter what site you're in, if other Blackhawkers had not thought about the future. Watch this.
We're Dave and Sue Nandahl. We've been attending Blackhawks since the early cut. We're Dave and Sue Nandahl, and we've been attending Blackhawks since the late 1970s when we were college students at UW. The church was on Blackhawk Avenue at the time, and our average attendance was about 80 to 100 people, if you included babies. We were a close-knit group, and we all pitched in to do the things that needed to be done. Over the next few years, we gradually grew and began to outgrow the smaller building on Blackhawk Avenue, and that led to the move to Whitney Way in 1986.
After we moved to Whitney Way, Blackhawk continued to grow to the point that by the mid-1990s, many people at Blackhawk didn't want it to grow any larger because they didn't want to lose the closeness that comes from knowing everybody and feeling connected to each other's lives. But God was at work, and more people kept coming. And it was during that time that a church consultant came, and he told us that our rapid growth was really a sign that God was doing something special at Blackhawk. And then he challenged us to consider whether we really wanted to stand in the way of what God was doing just for our own personal comfort. It's like, oh my goodness, that really hit home. And that challenge caused a lot of people to examine their priorities. And that was a huge turning point in our acceptance of the growth that God was bringing to our church. I think it's always exciting to be at a crossroads where you see God working in your midst in a way that requires an expansion of your space. And that's what's happening now at Blackhawk. And the Reach initiatives are all about reaching more people with the good news of God's grace. And these projects are just the means to try to accomplish that goal. So we believe in the importance of generosity, regardless of our circumstances.
For starters, it's an affirmation that God owns it all, and that we are just temporary stewards of what he provides. It's also a tangible way to put Christ first and to acknowledge his lordship over our lives.
We have learned that it takes a step of faith at every stage of life. So early on, when we were college students and living on student loans, it took faith to give out of the little that we had. And then when we finished our training, we were deeply in debt. And it took faith to continue to give regularly while we struggled to get ourselves out of debt. As we're heading into retirement, we've had to adjust our giving once again, but we're still committed to giving regularly and generously. And you know what? At every stage of our lives, we've experienced the joy of giving generously by faith. I think it's really encouraging to realize that Blackhawk has a history of responding to what God is doing in our midst by funding projects that humanly seem to be beyond our reach. And that first started when a small group of people meeting in a home were able to buy the little building on Blackhawk Avenue. And then it happened again when a small group of people gave generously enough to build the building on Whitney Way. And then again, when another group of people gave generously enough to build the building on Brader Way. Time after time, it was so cool to see how God took relatively small groups of people and accomplished something that seemed humanly beyond our reach. And I can't wait to see what God has in store for Blackhawk through the Reach campaign and moving into the future.
Really appreciate Dave and Sue taking the time to make that video. They talked repeatedly about the idea of generosity. So you look at projects like this and go, millions of dollars, you go, oh my gosh, what can I do? The issue is, in generosity, you guys, is never about money. It's never about money. It's always about our heart. It doesn't matter what stage of life we are in. It's always about our heart. So we could be like a college student and we have like tons of debt as a graduate student or whatever. It's never about money, how much money I can give. It's about basically our hearts. And as they said, basically, we are trying to get to a place where it demonstrates that Christ is Lord of our lives, and we have prayed over this amount, and this is what we're going to give. It might not seem like a lot of money, but from the Lord's perspective, it's a big deal because it comes from a generous heart. A couple years ago, I wrote a little booklet on generosity, and you can pick that up at any of our sites, and that'll just kind of help you do a biblical study on generosity. This is not about amount, you guys. It's about our hearts. Now, my wife and I have known about the REACH initiatives for some time, and we kind of basically wrestled about what it is that we thought God would like actually want us to give. And I don't know about your marriage, if you're married, but sometimes we kind of have some disagreements in our marriage about these kind of things. And this is one of those classic examples. I mean, after prayer, my wife came back with a number that was like this, and my number as the senior leader at Blackhawk was like under her number. Jeez, that's embarrassing. So I'm like, my wife is like, you know what? And I'm thinking, honey, we're getting ready to retire. This is not really. So she goes, let's see our financial advisor. So we went to our financial advisor. My wife's an accountant. Of course, the financial advisor knows a lot about money. And then there's this preacher in the room. Every once in a while, I look over and they're talking back and forth. And then he finally looks at me and he goes, oh, yeah, my gosh, I totally agree with her. It makes perfect sense. And she looks at me and goes, He's a Christ follower. That's why he said that. It makes no sense from a worldly perspective thinking about retirement, what we're going to give. Makes no sense. But from a Christ follower perspective, oh yeah, he got it. My wife and I are going to give the largest gift we've ever given by God's grace to any project. And we've never spent this much money on anything short of a house because we are in. We believe this is about others for the good of the city and for the sake of the world. Even if we leave Blackhawk, we're going to leave Blackhawk not too distant future. I'm not going to always be the pastor here. But it's about what Blackhawk is doing by presenting the word of God and the gospel to people. Question is, are you in? Have you benefited from Blackhawk Church? There's another question. Do you want that for others? You probably have a lot of questions about the REACH initiative. We put together a booklet, and you can pick one of these up as you leave your site and your venue. Somebody's going to hand you one of these, and that answers a lot of questions. Like that little thing I just said about we're leaving someday. I talk about that in this booklet. And we answer questions about debt and what if we don't raise enough money and all that kind of thing. We answer all those questions in this booklet right here. Please pick one of these up as you leave. Right now, I'd like people in all the venues to pass out an intention card that we are going to give you at all the sites and the venues. And we would like you to take this home with you. And we would like you to put this someplace where you can see it, someplace where you can be reminded about praying for this initiative, because this is a really big deal. So put it someplace where you can see it. The REACH initiative basically is a 30-month initiative over and beyond what you're currently giving to the general fund. So it's basically starts in June of 2017 and goes all the way to December of 2019. So we want you to just like pray, and maybe your relationship with your spouse, if you're married, it's not like my wife and I, you guys can totally agree right away. I'd love to live in that house. Absolutely. So that's not our house. So I want you to wrestle about this. I want you to pray about it and what you can do. Then on May the 21st, we'd like everyone in all the sites and venues to bring this card back. And we'll have basically a big worship moment as we like basically bring forth our intentions. Read through this card. It's not a contract. It's not a check. It's after prayer. This is what we are willing to give. This is our intention over basically a 30-month period from June of this year to December of 2019. We're also going to have some prayer times that are coming up, so you can look at the screen right now for those prayer times, because this is a big deal that we're going through, and we're calling the whole church to pray and fast on May the 16th. We hope that you can do that. And let me just kind of move towards some elephants in the room right now before we close. First elephant in the room is this. Many of you are thinking, oh my gosh, this is just like bigger, 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 bigger. You guys, listen, I have like zero ambition to grow a church just so that we can be a big church. Like no ambition for that at all. We're already a large church, you guys. So last Sunday, we had over 7,000 people come to one of our three sites for Easter Sunday. So we're already big, okay? I have no ambition for that. I have 100% ambition to be obedient to Yahweh. I have 100% ambition to preach the word and to make sure that the word is being proclaimed in our city. That's where my heart is on this. Second, talks like this can make some of us feel kind of uncomfortable. And especially if you're a visitor or you're kind of new to Blackhawk, so, you know, this is an unusual talk, okay? If I were you, I wouldn't trust me right now. But just ask somebody around you as you get up to leave. Is that a normal talk? And they'll say, no. Let me ask everybody. Is this a normal talk? No. So it's very unusual for us to kind of go right towards money. I mean, we're part of the Evangelical Free Church of America, and Blackhawk Church puts the word free in Evangelical Free Church of America. Because many times we don't talk about money at all here. We don't pass a plate or anything. We have boxes in the back. But I am completely unapologetic when it comes to asking for you to sacrificially release your resources to Blackhawk Church. Unapologetic. Why? Because I totally believe in what we are doing. The question is, do you believe? It's one thing to be aligned mentally. It's another thing to be committed with our resources. Here's a couple of questions. Have you benefited from the Bible being proclaimed here at Blackhawk Church? And the second question is this. Do you want that for others? That's what reach is all about. It's not about us. It's about others. It's about your children, your grandchildren. It's about people you don't even know. For the good of the city, for the sake of the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we live in this day, today, in Madison, Wisconsin, and we sure don't have the social pressures on us like they did in Ephesus, and we're thankful for that. We pray, Father, that you help us to be able to build a loving community that follows Christ in order to reach a community that's lost without him. We pray, Father, that you would help us to be faithful to your word, that we would be faithful to the gospel, and that we would proclaim this both now and in years to come with your power and your authority, and more and more and more people would come to faith in Jesus Christ. Because people in 2017 decided not to be just about themselves, but to be about others. We pray, Father, that you would help us to all be in and to reach this community with your word. We pray this in Christ's name and for his sake. All God's people said, amen.